This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
It is a genuine pleasure to be with you today on Getting to Know Your Bible, and we appreciate those of you who've tuned in to watch today. We want you to stay tuned today as we discuss this subject, Heaven Will Be Worth It All. Heaven will be worth it all. On Getting to Know Your Bible, we offer a free Bible correspondence course, and I emphasize the fact that it is free, and we want you to have it in order that you might know more about the course and how you can receive the course or how you can study the course. I'm going to pause for just a moment.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
By the turn of the century, millions of people now living will have died. Where will they go? What is their final destination? Is there such a place as heaven? For the individual who is a servant of God, death is asleep. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. For the Christian, death is also a departure. In Philippians 1 and verse 23, Paul said, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Also, for that servant of God, death is a change of residence. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, or to be at home with the Lord. But for the Christian, death is also gain. Philippians 1 and verse 21, the apostle wrote, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But the death of a servant of God is also something precious. In Psalms 116 and verse 15, the psalmist wrote, Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So death to the child of God, to the servant of God, is many things. You see, death of a Christian brings us into a better place. And this is a great doctrine of the Bible, a belief in a heavenly home. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul penned, For we know that if this earthly house of our tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. At our death, we will spend eternity in a place that has been prepared, that is, in heaven. Jesus said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So, see, heaven is a place where we go that has been prepared for us. Jesus has made that preparation. In Revelation, the 21st chapter, and in verse 2, John said, And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God as a bride prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
Can't go? Do this to clear out stuck poop fast. On June 17th in 2019, my mom was rushed to the hospital to have what was basically a log of poop surgically removed from her colon. What happened was when she hadn't pooped in 3 days, the doctor told her to try prune juice. And then he told her to try fiber supplements and then castor oil. And then came the prescription laxatives. But when all of these failed and she was actually in a situation where she was in morbid danger of toxins from her poop being reabsorbed back into her body, they had to go in and admit her for surgery and with scalpels, go in and excavate the impacted poop. And as it turns out, she just had all of these layers, just layers on layers of stuck poop lining the walls of her colon. And these layers built up until it completely blocked the flow of poop. And according to Dr. Gina Sam, this might surprise you, this is actually not uncommon. Dr. Sam served as the director of the prestigious Mount Sinai Gastrointestinal Motility Center for several years in New York City. And she also was one of the first doctors to start to investigate that link between the microbiome and excess weight. She's also one of the few doctors who specializes in solving constipation, and not just on a short-term basis, but solving it for good. Now, Dr. Sam says that if you're over the age of 50, and even if you're pooping every day, yes, every single day, you could still have, get this, you could have up to 20 pounds of stuck poop lining the walls of your colon right now, just like what happened to my mom. Oh, and if you're one of those people who's pooping less than once a day, well, guess what? Get this. There's a good chance that your colon looks like this right about now. And it's not because you're not getting enough fiber or water or exercise or anything like that. See, the muscles surrounding your digestive system, they work by squeezing food along through the stomach, kind of like when you brush your teeth and you squeeze toothpaste from the tube, right? Well, what happens is when your gut isn't well, the squeezing process, which is called peristalsis, it slows down. And this is a problem, a big problem, because when peristalsis is slow, the undigested food in your body, it doesn't have that momentum to avoid getting stuck in all of those twists and turns and grooves that are inside your intestines. Now, this is kind of gross, but hear me out. This stuck food, it literally starts rotting away. Isn't that gross? This undigested food, it's literally fermenting inside your belly. So it's no surprise that you have bloating and cramping and discomfort. But here's the thing, the problems don't stop there. This slow peristalsis, it also dries out that poop that's inside your colon. It hardens it into a literal cork that's blocking the only exit. And all the black coffee, you can drink all the prune juice, have all the psyllium, take gritty fiber, laxatives, all that stuff, all the laxatives on the planet, they're not gonna clean out that stuck poop. That's why Dr. Sam developed what poop experts now call the 7-second poop trick. It's a safe, fast, and incredibly effective way to shed up to 20 pounds. Yes, 20 pounds of stuck poop without the cramping, the squeezing, or that urgent, I've got to go to the bathroom feeling. And she just recorded a brief presentation that explains exactly how this 7-second morning ritual can give you safe, comfortable, and satisfying poops every single morning from now on. So if you're feeling backed up, if you're feeling bloated and constipated, take a minute, do yourself a favor, tap the button below this video, and you can see Dr. Sam's 7-second poop trick right now. You'll be moving things right along in no time, clearing all that stuck poop out of your bowels. Best of all, you could feel 10, 15, maybe even 20 pounds lighter for the rest of the day. Tap that button right now, and you can see Dr. Sam's 7-second morning ritual at this moment. Tap the button below this video and watch Dr. Sam's presentation right now. You can thank me later.
Drinking coffee every day didn't work for me, but I couldn't figure out why until I went from 184 to 123. I was doing everything right. I just needed a little tweak to one thing. So this is the simple method that has helped me drop close to 61 pounds since September. I kept it to myself for a while to see if it worked. But when I started losing up to 11 pounds week after week, it caused a stir among my family and friends. People ask me, how did you lose so much weight? And here's what I tell them. This is how I peed out fat in just weeks. This special coffee loophole took me from 184 to 123 in no time. You've probably heard that once you have kids, your body will never be the same. You'll have to accept the extra flab around your waist and arms, the muffin top that spills over your jeans, and the saggy skin that hangs from your belly. But what if I told you that's not true at all? What if I told you that there is a special coffee loophole that can help melt away the stubborn fat in weeks without starving yourself or spending hours at the gym? Sounds too good to be true, right? That's what I thought, too, until I met my old college roommate. She looked amazing. She had 4 kids, but she was as slim and fit as she was in her 20s. I asked her what her secret was, and she told me about this coffee loophole that changed her life. She said it was a simple coffee drink that she made every morning, using ingredients that she found at her local grocery store. She said it electrified her metabolism back to teenage levels and flushed out the toxins from her body. She said it was so easy to do, and it only took 10 seconds a day. She said she went from 174 to 118 in weeks and kept it off for good. I was skeptical, but I decided to give it a try. And boy, am I glad I did. Within weeks, I went from 184 to 123 just like that. I couldn't believe it. I felt like a new person. I could fit into my old jeans and dresses again. I had more energy and confidence than ever before. And the best part is everything I ate was melting right off. But don't take my word for it. My sister Emily tried it too, and she had even better results. She was sad after her husband divorced her because he said she got too big and tubby. But thanks to this coffee loophole, she went from 169 to 118 in weeks. Now she's dating a handsome guy who works in finance, and he treats her like a queen. She's happier than ever. And you can be too. If you want to discover this special coffee loophole that can help lose unwanted flab, tap the Watch Now button below and watch this short video that shows you everything you need to know. But hurry, this video won't be up for long. The weight loss industry doesn't want you to know about this loophole because it will put them out of business. So watch it now before it's too late. Trust me, you won't regret it. This coffee loophole is the best thing that ever happened to me and Emily, and it can be for you too. Tap the Watch Now button below and get ready to transform your body and your life.
So heaven is a place that has been prepared for us. And part of the exciting anticipation for us is the promise that we will be rewarded. Paul said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto the all of them that love his appearing. Sometimes we refer to deceased like this. And if the individual that has died is a Christian and a faithful Christian, we sometimes refer to them as having gone to their reward. Well, heaven will be a reward for the Christian. Jesus said, great is your reward in heaven, Matthew chapter 5 and in verse number 12. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter and verse 35, the writer says, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. So there's going to be a reward for the Christian. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That's a reward. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we do it for an imperishable crown, a crown that will never corrupt or die. And then in James, the 1st chapter, in verse number 12, blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he is approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those that love him. So part of that exciting anticipation and our hope is the reward that we're going to receive at the last day. Heaven will be worth it all. But let me ask a question. What is heaven going to be like? Heaven is described as a place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And heaven is as much a place as anywhere you've ever been. It is a real place. It's not the figment of someone's imagination. It is not a mythological place. It is a real place. But heaven is also a place of perfection. There will be nothing that will be imperfect in the very least. Revelation 21:4 tells us there will be no night there. There will be no pain. There will be no sorrow. There will be no worries. There will be no sin. That there will be no separation. Sometimes we fight the storms of life, but there will be no storms of life to battle there. It's going to be a perfect place. In Revelation 21 and verse 27, the writer says, there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth or worketh abomination. There will be nothing there that except that which is perfect. It is a real place. It is a perfect place. It is a place of beauty. It is described in the Revelation as a place where they have walls of jasper, a street of gold, gate of pearl. You see, this is the paradise of God, a place of extreme beauty. But it's also going to be a place where we rest. There's no perpetual rest in this old world. You get up, you go to work, you get tired, you come home, you go to bed, you get rested, you get up, you go back to work, you get tired all over again. But there remaineth a rest to the people of God, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 14, rather, and verse 13, the writer says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, yea, henceforth saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. Rest, it is a place of rest. It is also a place of rejoicing. In Luke the 15th chapter, we're told that there is rejoicing in heaven among the angels of God over one sinner that repents more than 99 just persons that do not need to repent.
Pepsi. You can't see it, and you might not feel it, but it's there, staring back at you. It's time to change your outlook and see yourself cured of Hep C. Today's treatments have overall cure rates of 95% or higher, are pills, not injections, and can be taken wherever you are in your recovery journey. So start your next chapter and put Hep C in the rearview. Now's the time to see yourself cured. Talk to a healthcare professional and visit HepCCure.com for more information.
So what is heaven like? It is a place, a real place, a perfect place. It is a beautiful place. It is a place of rest. It is a place of rejoicing. But heaven is also a place of service. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 3 is this short statement, His servants shall serve Him. I do not know what we shall do there. I have no idea. The assignments will be given to us. I simply know that His servants shall serve Him. Heaven is going to be worth it all. It will be worth all of the suffering that we endure in this old world. And there's a lot of suffering going on right now, this very moment in time, a lot of suffering. People are suffering for various reasons. But heaven will be worth all of the suffering that we endure. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. Paul wrote that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. We may be pressed down in this life. We may be knocked down in this life. But we're going to rise again because heaven will be worth all of the suffering, all the trials, all of the persecutions that we endure in this world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul said, "For which cause we faint not. For though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment, and it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Paul said his affliction was just for a moment, and yet Paul suffered unbelievably in his lifetime. All you have to do is to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and starting in verse 23 and following to see the afflictions that Paul endured in his ministry. He was in shipwrecks. He was beaten several times with rods. The average preacher has no concept of what it means to be persecuted and hurt. See, Paul did, and yet Paul referred to it as a light affliction. How could Paul refer to everything that he endured as being a light affliction or light problem? Well, it was because of that with which he compared it. He compared it with an eternal weight of glory. You see, heaven is going to be worth all of the sufferings that we will endure, all of the discomfort that we have to go through, all the pain, all the suffering. Heaven will be worth it all. Heaven will be worth all of the sacrifices that we've had to make for the cause of Christ. And many people today have no concept of what a sacrifice really is. I've read books about what happened to early Christians, books such as Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you never read it, it will cause you to have a greater appreciation of the sacrifices that some of those early saints made for the cause of Christ. What will an individual have in common in heaven that has lived a life of ease and comfort? What will you have in common with a person who had their head chopped off for the cause of Christ, because they refused to renounce their faith in Jesus Christ? You see, heaven is going to be worth it all for the sacrifices that we've made. Some sacrifice the material goods they have for the cause of Christ. Paul said, "Present your bodies as a living sacrifice." In the Old Testament, the sacrifices that were offered were animal sacrifices, and when they offered them, those animals were dead. But now we are to present our bodies as sacrifices to God that are holy sacrifices, that are acceptable sacrifices, that God will approve of. But he said they're to be living sacrifices. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. And our entire existence as a Christian should be one of sacrifice. What do we really know about sacrificial living as Christians today? Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." But I'll tell you, heaven is going to be worth it all. It will be worth whatever sacrifices that we've made for the cause of Christ. Heaven will be worth all of the treasures that we've laid up in heaven. Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where rust corrupts and the moths eat your clothes and the thieves will break through the walls of your house and steal them." Jesus said you need to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where rust and moth doesn't corrupt and the thieves do not break through and steal, because where your treasures is, that's where your heart's going to be. I believe when we rear our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, we're laying up treasure in heaven. When I give of the financial resources that I have to the Lord, I'm laying up treasure in heaven. Are we really giving sacrificially to the Lord? I believe it is responsibility of every Christian on every Lord's Day to lay by in store, as Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter. And that means that we give into the treasury of the local church to help support the finances of the local church. But we're not giving to the church, we're giving to the Lord. Jesus said, lay up yourselves treasures in heaven. And heaven will be worth all of the sacrifices I've made and all the treasures that I've laid up in heaven. Heaven will be worth all of the teaching and preaching that we've done. Sometimes preachers grow weary because preachers get tired just as other people get tired at their jobs. And sometimes preachers wonder, is it worth it all? But heaven will be worth it all. Daniel chapter 12 and 3 says, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Have you heard the expression, you'll have stars in your crown? Those who teach and preach the Word of God are going to have treasure laid up in heaven. They'll have stars in their crown. Heaven is going to be worth all that we did to teach the Word of God. I admire those who go into what we sometimes refer to as the foreign mission field. The whole world is a mission field. Well, I don't have to leave the United States to preach to pagans any longer. But I admire those who sacrifice life and limb to carry the gospel to people in foreign lands. I have a friend who for many years was involved in the work in Indonesia. He and his wife both lived there, worked there, and they're still involved in the work in Indonesia in their older years. I admire that. There was a preacher by the name of J.C. Schott who was so involved in the work in India and for all of his life, and his wife is still involved in the work in India. You see, what their sacrifices that these men and women have to make to go into the mission field, to go into some foreign country and to live a different way than they live in the United States. Maybe eat different kinds of foods than you eat in the United States, a different standard of living. And you must adapt to where you are if you want to be effective in those places. But heaven is going to be worth all of the teaching and the preaching that you've done. Preachers spend many hours preparing their sermons that they preached on Sunday. I have preached sermons and prepared sermons that I may have spent 10, 15, 20, or 30 hours in the preparation of that lesson and then preach it in about 30 or maybe 35 minutes. But you see, that's a lot of effort, and it's a lot of work. But heaven will be worth it all. It wasn't very long ago that a man walked up to me at a gathering of thousands of Christians. He said, Brother Lambert, I want to meet you. I became a Christian some 7 years ago. He heard me on television, saw the program, took our Bible course, and he became a Christian. And I did not know that. I didn't know the man. This happens almost every week, someone letting me know. They're watching the television. A lot of people don't realize all the preparation that goes behind getting to know your Bible. But heaven is going to be worth all that we put into the teaching and preaching of the other people. Heaven will be worth all of obedience to God that we have rendered. We are to obey God. We're to fear God. We're to keep the commandments of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. I will go beyond that to say that that's our reason for existing, is to obey God, to honor God, to praise God, to fear God, to keep the commandments of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13 actually says that. This here the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep His commandments. Well, this is the whole duty of man. Are you obeying God? You say, well, I've thought about it. I've thought seriously about it. Well, have you thought about obeying God? You say, well, I don't really have the time. I would have to let some things go. Heaven will be worth it all. Heaven will be worth it all. What must I do if I go to heaven? What must I do if I want God to save my soul. You know, we value in this world a lot of things. We value physical beauty. If you want to invest in something that is never affected by the stock market, I would think you'd want to invest in cosmetics, because regardless of what the stock market may do, women still want to be their best. They want to be beautiful. We put a lot of emphasis on physical beauty. Men value education, and I value education, as a matter of fact. And I encourage young men and young women to get all of the education that they can get. Some value money. They think that's the most important thing in life. Some value noble ancestry. They would like to talk about who their father was and their grandfather and their great-great-great-grandfather was. And we were kin to so-and-so, who was a very famous person way back yonder somewhere in the past. They value all of that. And some put a great deal of value on position in life. There's a premium on position. The higher the position in life, the better off you are, they think. But if we really want to go to heaven, we need to start valuing our soul. Our soul is the most valuable thing that we have. Sometimes we talk about man having a soul. I'd rather put it like this. Man is a soul. And man is a soul that's going to live on and on and on throughout all eternity. And to go home to heaven one day beyond this life, we've got to come to the foot of the cross. There's just no doubt about that. And the ground is level at the foot of the cross. We have to go home to heaven by the way of the cross. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You see, Jesus is the way that will take us home to heaven one day. And whatever Jesus Christ asks us to do will be worth it all when we get to heaven at last. What does Jesus want us to do? Well, Jesus said, "I am the way." Without Jesus, that there is no going. Jesus said, "I am the truth." Without Jesus, there's no knowing. Jesus said, "I am the life." And without Jesus, there's no real living. Some think they're really living. They look forward to the weekends when they can live it up, party on the weekends. They think that's real living. Real living is found with Jesus. Jesus came that men might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So if we're going to go home to heaven one day, we've got to turn it all over to Jesus. Turn it all over to Christ. We have to come to the foot of the cross. And it was at the cross that Jesus shed His precious blood to wash the sins of the whole world away. Listen to the book of Revelation chapter 5 and in verse 9. "And they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and have redeemed us to God by your blood." How are we redeemed to God? We're redeemed to God by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, "What are these and whence came they? I said, Sir, these are they that came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Our sins can be made white by Jesus' blood. In the Old Testament, when God was displeased with His people, He said, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The only way that our sins can be cleansed is in Jesus' blood. He washes our sins away. And He does that when we as penitent, confessing believers in Him, allow someone to baptize us for the remission of those sins. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22, verse 16. I want to thank you for watching Getting to Know Your Bible today. And in the closing moments, may I encourage you to call for the free Bible correspondence course. And right now, pick up the telephone and call. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you, is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.